Hi, my name is Mandy Jackson Beverly, and I'm a bibliophile. Welcome to the Bookshop Podcast. Each week, I present interviews with independent bookshop owners from around the globe, authors, and specialists in subjects dear to my heart, the environment and social justice. To help the show reach more people, please share it with friends and family and on social media. And remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. You're listening to episode 203. A quick note before we start, I was excited this week to get an email from Anuj Agarwal, founder of Feedspot.com, congratulating me because the Bookshop podcast was selected by their panelists as one of the top 10 indie book podcasts on the web. So that's exciting. We are at number 3. Thank you, Feedspot, and thank you everyone for listening. And for my team here at the Bookshop podcast, my husband Brian Beverly, who created the theme for the Bookshop podcast and is my engineer, my assistant, Adrian Otterhan, and our graphic designer, Francis Ferrale. Producing a podcast is a lot of work, and it's not possible without a fabulous team. And I will make sure to put the link to the top 10 indie book podcasts from Feedspot.com in the show notes. Okay, let's get on with this week's show. The Book Bird is a small, independent bookshop that prides itself on matching readers with books they love. The staff believe bookshops are repositories of wisdom and spaces of learning. Located on Packington Street in Geelong West, Victoria, Australia, the Book Bird has become a much-loved community hub since opening in 2015. This idea underpins everything the staff does across customer service, events, their book club, and other initiatives. Their eclectic range of books spans children's, young adult, fiction, non-fiction, poetry, gardening, travel, art, architecture, and cooking. They stock the books reviewed in the national papers and books you've never heard of, but once placed in your hands, they just may change your life. The Bookbird thinks of their staff as your literary tour guides. They are knowledgeable and passionate about what they do and will take the time to connect the right books with the right humans. Whether it's in-store recommendations, their review cards, carefully considered displays, or social media posts, all communication at the Bookbird is about sharing the power of books and reading. Hi, Charlotte, and welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure.
I've really enjoyed listening to some of the previous episodes.
Thank you. Which episodes in particular?
Well, you did ages ago, I think you did Fuller's Bookshop in Tasmania, which I clocked onto that one because I really love it when I go. Well, I've been to Tasmania a couple of times. It's such an institution down there. So that was great. And then the bookshop in Notting Hill.
Lutyens and Rubinstein. Yeah. What a fascinating bookshop.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you listening. And there was another bookshop with the word bird in it in Australia.
Oh, Paper Bird.
Yes, that's it. Oh, fabulous, fabulous owner and such a supporter of Indigenous writing. And it looks like such a beautiful area.
Yes, Fremantle. I'm from there, so I know Paper Bird quite well. That's a beautiful bookstore.
Yes, and it's in that stunning historical building. Okay, let's talk about you, what you were doing before joining the Book Bird, and what drew you to becoming a bookseller and then moving into management.
I came from bookselling and book publishing before I moved to Geelong. I'm from Perth in Western Australia. So I was working in book publishing for quite a few years at a small press in Perth. And before that, I also worked in bookstores as well. So I've worked in bookstores for probably over 10 years. And that was alongside studying literature. And I moved to Geelong to start my PhD in creative writing and literature. So I was doing those side by side and came to the bookstore, the Bookbird, in 2018 and sort of have been there ever since. I came in as just a bookseller and then I was event manager and now store manager, which is really nice. It's such a beautiful little shop. It's a real community. I guess that's sort of what attracts me to the whole idea of the power of books to transform and educate and enlighten and all of those wonderful things. That's what I've always loved about it.
And did you receive your PhD?
I did, yes, in February.
Well, congratulations. That takes a lot of work.
Thank you so much.
My youngest son has an MA in creative writing from the University of Kent in the UK, and his wife has her PhD from the same university, also in creative writing. Apart from the obvious amount of knowledge that you've gained from getting all the way to a PhD, is there a particular piece of knowledge that you've walked away with after completing your PhD that you will hold dear to your heart?
Because it was in creative writing, my creative component to the thesis was to write a manuscript for a novel. And it's just given me such an appreciation for the work that goes into producing a novel in the first place, and the deep amount of engagement with an idea over an extended piece of writing, the sheer amount of research that's involved, particularly for historical fiction. It's even just, let alone as a writer, but as a bookseller, it's let me appreciate all the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into creating the manuscript in the first place. It's been really good.
And I wish you all the best with your manuscript. As I mentioned to you earlier, I was born in Victoria, Australia, and I adore Melbourne. But what can you tell us about the ethnic diversity and creative culture of Geelong, which is south of Melbourne?
Yeah, so it's going towards the Great Ocean Road. It is about an hour south of Melbourne, on the highway. And even though you can see Melbourne from different parts of Geelong with the hills, it is quite a different area. It's its own city. And the identities of Melbourne and Geelong can be quite different. So even just being an hour away in the car, it is a very separate place. So, I mean, still connected, but certainly has its own sort of feel and character.
And how does the diversity and ethnicity compare to Melbourne?
I'd say Melbourne is certainly more diverse in some ways than Geelong. Geelong is kind of a big country town, and it is probably more conservative in some ways as well in certain aspects. Melbourne, I'd say, would be, yeah, definitely more diverse in a lot of different ways than Geelong, even though, like I said, they're so close, which is quite interesting. But even having been in this area for 5 years, that is definitely changing more and more for the better, which is really great to see, as Melbourne unfortunately becomes so much more expensive to live in. It's an amazing city that is great for a day trip if you do happen to live in Geelong, but the big conversation over here is just how unaffordable it's becoming, and there's a lot of, I think, leftover, trying to think of a similar word to trauma, but you know, a lot of trauma, I guess is the right word, from many Melburnians who lived through COVID, because Melbourne was the most locked down city in the world, apparently. That's what they kept reporting, that they had the longest and most severe lockdowns for good reason. Of course, you know, the lockdowns were there to try and keep everybody safe. But for the people who lived through them, it was just such an intense and isolating experience that I think a lot of people have tried to move out of the city since we've opened up again. So things are certainly changing. And in terms of the diversity in Geelong, definitely changing for the better, which is great.
Yes, and I think the pandemic has definitely shifted the political map, well, definitely in the US. I don't know how it's shifted in Australia. And I find that fascinating. I look at bookshops in Florida, specifically Books and Books. They have a few bookshops in Florida, and they are fighting back with all the book banning in that state. They're promoting authors whose books have been banned. They're reaching out to readers who need to read these books, who want to read these books. And it's great to see bookshops nurturing their communities and making sure that people get the books they need to read.
Yeah, we definitely consider that part of our role and our purpose is to expose our readers to an incredible array of stories and authors and cultures as well, which is part of the curation of the shop is having that real diversity of experience represented on the shelves, which is what we love doing.
And has this changed the curation of the store, specifically during the pandemic and since you opened in 2015?
Not necessarily. It's always been part of our ethos to have a really broad range of stories, storytelling cultures, philosophies, etc. That's always been part of our remit. But what has changed is that the bookshop actually opened 7 years ago as a remainders bookshop. So we would purchase the leftover stock from certain publishers that were, like the remainder model is you're probably familiar with it, when they sell off overstocked books in the warehouse, which was a way to get some really different and unusual books that were being sort of sold off, and we could build up the collection. You know, it's a business model to be able to build up the collection and get the reputation of the bookshop solidified, and then we could transition into the new books that come through the sales kits from the publishers, which is what we've done for the last 5 or so years. But the first iteration of the shop was as a remainders bookshop. And so it was presented more as like a treasure trove, where you wouldn't necessarily get everything that was on a catalogue for the new releases, but you would get some books that you'd never heard of and never encountered, but were just as wonderful. So it's definitely changed in that respect from how we order our stock.
I think you're the first bookshop I've had on the show that has used that word remainder, and I find that fascinating. That's a whole concept I've not explored before. On the BookBird website, it states, quote, "We stock the books you see reviewed in the national papers and the books you've never heard of, but when placed in your hands, just may change your life. No, seriously, this has been known to happen," end quote. Now, I couldn't agree more with this quote. It's happened to me on multiple occasions. Can you give our listeners an example of where and when you've witnessed this process?
Definitely. Two examples spring immediately to mind, one of which was a really beautiful relationship that our owner of the store, Anna, had with one of our customers who didn't actually live in Geelong, but every time she would come down this way or simply come all this way to visit our bookstore, she would ask our owner for recommendations in the psychology space. And Anna had this beautiful relationship with her that went on for about a year. And then she wrote this letter to say that based on all the books that Anna had provided for her, she completely changed her career and was going back to university to retrain as a psychologist or a counselor. I can't quite remember, which was just such a lovely thing to be told. And that's one example I remember from a few, I'd say maybe 2 years ago. And then just the other day, actually, we know quite a lot of the families in the area. You know, we have a really vibrant children's section. And so we'll supply books for, you know, parents and guardians as well as the kids. And we've seen kids grow up from when we opened the store to now, and you know, a child that would have come in as an 11-year-old is now 18. And one of those kids, he must have started coming into the shop when he was probably about 12, and he was always really interested in ideas, and we struck up quite a nice friendship in the store, and I'd always give him these different books that were very sort of ideas driven or philosophy. And as he got older, he sort of transitioned more into reading the you know, the heavy hitting philosophy texts and the classics. Sorry, excuse my cat. Yeah, sorry,
cats are welcome on this show.
She likes to be involved. So he sort of made his way through a lot of the classics, the philosophy texts, and I'd luckily, oh my goodness, studied a few units in my bachelor's so I could keep up with him just. And then I'd time my research when I knew he was going to come in, because he tended to take about 2 weeks to read a book. So I would just do a little bit of Googling and research and then pretend that I just had this knowledge, so that when when he came in the next time, I had something lined up for him. And I hadn't seen him in a few months actually, and his father came into the shop and I said, oh, you know, how's he going? I haven't seen him for a while. And his dad told me that because of all the books that I'd given him and how excited he used to be to come into the shop and explore philosophy and classics, that he'd decided to enroll at Melbourne Uni in a philosophy degree, and that was the path that he would choose because of the shop. And I was like, oh, isn't that just the reason why you go into bookselling? It's just so fulfilling.
Yes, and I can hear the passion in your voice. It's fantastic. And that must have made you feel great.
Oh, it did. And he was such a special young person that it was really just lovely to hear that had made an impact.
Yes, there's definitely a unique experience that happens between a customer reader and a bookseller in an independent bookshop. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into my local bookshop here at Bart's Books, and we've exchanged book ideas. It's a process that works both ways. If I'm reading an ARC or advanced reader copy, I'll say, have you read this? It's great. I'm going to have this person on the show, and they'll say, great, we'll read it. Maybe stock some of the books in. And then they'll say, oh, and have you read this one? And slip it into my hands. And it's always been a fabulous reading experience. That sharing of information about books and authors is fabulous.
That just brings to mind, sounds like one of our other wonderful regular customers who reads at the most extraordinary pace. Like, I don't think I've ever met anyone who reads quite as fast as she does. And she just devours books. And we've got this lovely system whereby she buys a lot of books, but also because we've known her for so long and she always buys from us, we also send her a lot of the publishers' ARCs as well, as, you know, free sort of reading copies for her to give us her take on as to whether she thinks that it would be a good one to stock, because she's just such a font of knowledge, and she has very similar tastes to a lot of our customers, and so she's a good barometer for things that are coming in as to whether it was well executed or lacking or all of those different things, and she'll circle them back. And so we've got this sort of informal book club between the staff members and her. And it's really quite lovely. And she'll buy these books sometimes and then give them back to us to read, and we'll read and then give them back to her. And we've got this ecosystem of free books and different books, and sometimes even the damages, when we've processed the damages. It's a terrible thing to put something in the skip when the only thing that was wrong with it is that the spine was bent and therefore you can't sell it. So we've got two things with the damages. We know our customers so well that if there's a damage that's been processed and we know they're going to love it, we'll match it with someone and say, here's something that's free. It's got the barcode cut out because it's a damage, but it's the same book. And so that's quite nice. And the other thing we do is a lot of the damages that we process, we box up and we donate them to the local prison for the literacy program. And they have really, really appreciated and enjoyed all those donations, because there's not always an ability to get in a vast array of new releases for their library. And so it's a way for the prison via the local library to access reading materials for their literacy and community program within the prison that they wouldn't have access to otherwise. And that's just, you know, instead of putting all these books in the recycling skip, which would just be such a waste.
I love what you're doing there. And there's always the perfect reader for every book.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you have little free libraries in Australia?
We do, yeah. There's a number of street libraries that, particularly in the Geelong West area, which is where the bookshop is, where people, you know, donate books that they've read and happy to pass on. And there used to be a company in Australia where you could subscribe and get your kit to, you know, like the plywood and everything to build your postbox library. I'm sure there's something similar in California, but that was such a great initiative. And I think that really took off during the pandemic as something that people could do at home.
I'm always inspired by little free libraries, not only because of the books they hold and the whole concept of giving and receiving, but I love the imagination that goes into building some of these little free libraries. We have one in the town where I live that is in the shape of an owl, and it's lowered to the ground specifically for children's books.
Oh, that's so cute.
And on social media, I've seen them carved into old dead trees. It's just wonderful. I believe that everybody has creativity inside of them. It just needs to be unleashed. And this is something that I found happening during the pandemic. It was one of the positives that came out of COVID-19.
Just on that point, it's so interesting because you know that when you work in a bookstore, you're always plugged into what the zeitgeist is, because that's the books that are coming through the publishers and the books that are flying off the shelves kind of gives you a bit of a snapshot of the current moment. And since the pandemic began, there has been a real influx and uptake of philosophy, creativity books, and career advice books, particularly around the idea of meaning and purpose in work. And there's been this upswell of new titles in that space and just the appetite for it as well, and creativity books that extend out of the art section and into different pursuits or philosophies, or, you know, like creativity in small business, for example, or creativity in relationships and all sorts of different things that perhaps weren't as visible before.
It's just lovely to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, now in the store, you have review cards. Where do customers find them and who writes them?
So the staff all write their own review cards for things that they've recently read and really loved. And they're these little cardstock cards that fold onto the shelf, and they'll just poke out of the shelf wherever that particular book is located. And it just draws the eye to certain titles that, while you do a lot of hand selling, of course, it's another layer of hand selling when the fiction shelf can just look like a forest if you've got nowhere to start. And it gives different customers a point of entry into starting to narrow down their selection. And they are so effective. Something that has a review card just suddenly will spike in sales because it's something that distinguishes it from the books beside it. And they're really quite effective, and all the staff write them. And then we also try and make sure that we replicate that little review paragraph on the online shop as well. So the product pages for those books should also all have those reviews on there as well.
Yes, I've seen them in bookshops and I love it. It's fun seeing what booksellers are reading. Okay, so say I have a couple of days in the Geelong area. Are there any places of interest and historic sites that you would suggest I visit? Are there any vegetarian restaurants you'd like to recommend? And where would one go for a fabulous cafe latte?
Well, my recommendations for people who visit this area are always out of the city, as in Geelong, because we're so close. We're on Wathaurong country, which is the First Nations name for this land. And there are a number of amazing natural sites and parklands and trails in this area that is sort of speaks to more. I'm very much into hiking and bushwalking.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. So I tend to, there is certain things downtown in Geelong, but we're just at the top of the Great Ocean Road where we are. And if you start going down through some of the coastal towns, making your way towards Apollo Bay, there's the amazing Otway Ranges, which is a rainforest. If you're from California, there's the Californian Redwoods, which might end up feeling a bit close to home. And then there's the cliffs, you know, the Yuyangs, which is a sort of national park out here, and some ranges that has amazing bush life and trails and hikes and so forth. And so every time people come into this area, I tend to lead them out of the CBD and into different natural parts of this area. It's very different to other parts of Australia. Australia is such a big country that, and with so many, you know, different nations within that continent, that they all have very distinct landscapes. So WA looks completely, which is where I'm from, looks completely different to Victoria. And Victoria is tend to be known as the garden state because it gets so much more rainfall. So there's lots of beautiful gardens, parks and walks that I would probably recommend around here. And in terms of restaurants, I was going to say this wonderful restaurant that was open opposite the bookstore, and it's a wonderful vegetarian restaurant, but I just realized when I went to log on that it had closed, which was so sad.
Oh no.
I know. I think it might have become a victim of some COVID closures, which has really hit the area quite hard.
Yeah, so many areas have been hard hit, both during and from the pandemic.
Yeah, it's hard. And I think a lot of small businesses in town have really suffered. There's a lot of commercial spaces that are vacant and needing to be revitalized. But another option that is a wonderful vegetarian and vegan restaurant in here is called The Arborist. And I did check and that is still there. And that is in a little precinct called Little Mallop Street, which has a lot of bars and music venues and a few clubs as well. And it's a little cultural precinct, I'd say, and hospitality area in town. And The Arborist is just the most fantastic vegan and vegetarian menu. They're great. And the best coffee, well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our neighbors at the bookshop, Poco. They are a stone's throw away from our front door, and so naturally we frequent them nearly every day, and they do a really, really good coffee.
And are they actually in your same building or are they separate?
It's actually quite unique. It's in it's very hard to explain because the village that we're in is a set of heritage buildings, and the way that it is set out is that there's this little circular central part. I'm sure it has a name, but I can't think of it right now. This tiny little central structure in the middle of the village, and it's tiny. It's like a hole in the wall cafe, but they do lunch and soups and treats and everything. They do a lot for such a tiny little space, and they are a bit of a favorite in the area, and particularly with all the retailers who are right next door. It's quite a meeting place. It's really lovely.
It sounds perfect.
Oh, it's so good. You can just tell them to get their book and go and have a coffee and sit and read. It's wonderful.
It's such a great match, coffee and reading.
Yeah.
Let's talk about writing. Can you share information about local Geelong authors? I'm sure you have quite a few in the area.
We do. This area is actually a really buzzing little creative hub. The library, actually, in response to COVID, they launched a festival called the Local Word Festival, and it's a celebration of writers that are in this area, of which there are actually a lot, two of which have some very exciting news as of the last couple of weeks. There is a big literary prize in Australia called the Miles Franklin Literary Award, and it's probably the biggest prize, or at least the best known literary prize in Australia. It's a big deal. And this year, two of our Geelong writers are on the long list, which is so exciting. And I believe actually, I should have checked this. It definitely the long list. They may have both just made it through to the short list as well. But they are Kanat Akesh, who has written Hopeless Kingdom, and Peruz Jafari, who has written 40 Nights. So they're both from Geelong, which is extraordinary for such a huge literary prize. And we have just such an array of writers in this area. One of my very, very good friends, Belinda Lyons-Lee, is an author of Gothic Victorian fiction, historical fiction, and probably one of our best known writers here is Gregory Day. He writes a lot of fiction and non-fiction in the sort of nature writing space.
Nature writing seems to be a growing genre.
Yeah, it's a really interesting area.
Okay, so while we're talking about authors, let's talk about books. Is there a specific book that you love to hand sell?
There's so many. It tends to change depending on the mood.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There's a novel recently called Groundskeeping by Lee Cole, who is an American writer. It's a debut, and I read that when it first came out, and it just really stuck with me. It is about two writers who are attending university, well, who are at a university in Kentucky in 2016 with the presidential election happening in the background. And they're both writers, but they both come from extremely different class backgrounds. And one of which is, she's a resident writer at the university, so quite affluent, but from a migrant background from Eastern Europe. And the other writer is actually not enrolled at the university, but he is a groundskeeper, and he is able to audit a creative writing unit as part of being an employee at the university. And they embark on a relationship, and it is about all the different things that they bring from their vastly different worlds into that relationship and the shared pursuit of creative writing. And it is just fantastic. Another one that I want to mention because, well, firstly, because he's a friend and a local writer who has done really, really well, is Rhett Davis, whose debut novel, Hovering, came out last year. It won the Unpublished Manuscript Prize in Victoria in 2020, I believe, and which is a huge prize for an aspiring writer. And it is called Hovering, and it is about video games and changing urban landscapes. And it's been labelled dystopian, but I know that that's sort of a contentious label in terms of what it really is depicting. But it's just such an inventive novel that has really resonated with a lot of readers. Some of the chapters are written in HTML code.
Oh my goodness, that sounds complicated.
Which is... it's amazing. It's so inventive and original and unique. And it's amazing to have that from a local writer that we call our own, who also used to work at the bookshop, which is great. And maybe one more. The Age Book of the Year Award was announced recently, and the one that won was a very special novel from a Tasmanian writer called Robbie Arno, who has written a novel called Limberlost. And it's just the most beautiful, quiet novel. Like, it's very gentle. The language is very measured, and I'm not quite sure what the right adjective is for it, but it is about a young boy who grows up on an apple orchard during the Second World War, and he's sort of always waiting for his two brothers who went off to fight to come home. And it just traces those days of waiting. And it's told as a set of memories. It's how memories are formed and why something may stick in the mind over something else, even though it might not necessarily be as quote unquote significant. And it's just the most exquisite writing. And it deservedly won the big Age Book of the Year Award, and it's been hugely popular in the shop.
Well, that's where my family lives, in Tasmania.
Oh, there you go. You must read the book.
Yes, absolutely. And what are you currently reading?
I am reading a novel called Search History by Amy Taylor, which is a change of pace. I'm only a third of the way through, but I'm really enjoying it. It's quite amusing. It is about a young woman who has met a man in real life, which for her is quite unusual. She hasn't met him on an app, and she can't resist looking him up online. And she does a deep dive into his online presence and discovers that his ex recently passed away, and that was why he was no longer in a relationship, because she had died. And it starts to become an obsession for her, even though he doesn't know that she knows what has happened, because he hasn't personally revealed that information to her. And so it's about dating in an online world, and about your digital presence and and disclosure as well, you know, the things that we might not choose to tell someone in person but is actually available to find. Actually, it's very funny. It's very dry and quite cutting. I would compare to Diana Reid, who's another Australian author, but also someone like Sally Rooney. People who enjoyed Sally Rooney would love it.
Well, thank you for all of the great book recommendations, Charlotte. That's great.
You're welcome.
Charlotte, it's been great chatting with you and your cat, who has made multiple appearances. What's your kitty's name?
Oh, Janine. Sorry about Janine.
What a funny name for a cat.
I know. Well, she had when I adopted her, she just looked very put together and organized, and I just thought she just looked, you know, like a Janine. So
Well, Janine is charming, and you know what, I've had two friends in my life, both Janines, and you're right, they were both immaculately put together. So Janine is a perfect name for your kitty.
everyone finds her hilarious.
Well, she's certainly not camera shy. Charlotte and Janine, it's been great chatting with you both.
You too. Thank you so much, Mandy.
And next time I'm in Victoria, I'll have to come by and say hi.
You must visit us. Anna and I will be there. I look forward to it. Thank you.
You've been listening to my conversation with Charlotte Guest, manager of the Bookbird Bookshop in Geelong, Victoria, Australia. You can also find out more about Charlotte's writing at charlottelucyguest.com. To find out more about the Bookshop Podcast, go to thebookshoppodcast.com and make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to the show. You can also follow me at Mandy Jackson Beverly and the Bookshop Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and on YouTube at the Bookshop Podcast. If you have a favorite indie bookshop that you'd like to suggest we have on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you via the contact form at thebookshoppodcast.com. The Bookshop Podcast is written and produced by me, Mandy Jackson Beverly. Theme music provided by Brian Beverly, executive assistant to Mandy, Adrian Otterhan, and graphic design by Francis Farala. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.